On Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA, it's WRTA Weekend. Doug Herendeen with us, outdoors writer, photographer, guide, Walt Young. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon, or morning, as the case may be.
As the case may be. We'll explain that in a second, but Walt writes most often for the Weekend Altoona Mirror, where you can see his column. And he'll talk about trying to update something at the last second, which is something that we will have to do with this, except we're not going to change it. I'm just going to tell you, we're recording this early July, and for reasons too boring to go into, it may run earlier in July or toward the end of the month. So certain things we will not discuss simply because they'll be past tense, and what's the point? Other things we can talk about going on. So just so you know that. Off the top, because we're going to talk about the Sunday hunting bill, which may or may not have been signed into law by the time you hear this.
Yes, actually, it's breaking news right now as we sit here. We're kind of in a little time warp, I guess.
We kind of expected this to come along, and you say there's a House and Senate versions of it.
Yeah, it's been in the works since the 1870s.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. It's a relic of the what they call the blue laws. I don't know how, if you're old enough to remember, you couldn't get a drink on
right.
Sundays.
Or well,
I know you grew
it.
Up in New York, Doug.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
we used to come to Pennsylvania to visit my relatives at least twice a summer for years. And we had blue laws here I try to explain them to people in New York, and they go, "What?" They'd never heard of it. Then again, they've never heard of kids getting a day off for the first day of hunting season either.
Deer season, yeah.
Yeah, they thought I was making that up, and then they thought it was barbaric. Why would you shoot Bambi? Oh, shut up. It's hunting.
Well,
yeah, you couldn't explain it to some of them. That was the thing.
No,
and before we get into it, here's the thing about the blue laws or about Sunday hunting. If it permits it, that doesn't mean you have to do it.
Exactly. That's.
I mean, there are a lot of people that would say, I have a moral objection to this. Okay, fine, then don't hunt on Sunday.
If you feel you're better off at church, go to church.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you say, oh, well, yes, but you're...
Or go to church and then go hunting. It's not an obligation.
I've known people that would do that, yeah. But you see, here's the thing. Just because somebody says something is legal, for instance, oh, well, the state lottery is legal, so I'll gamble. But I thought you said you're against gambling. Well, yeah, but the state says it's okay. Well, then you're not really against gambling. Well, how dare you? It's like, you're the one buying the ticket. You don't have I'm not going to say I never bought a ticket because my mother was a fan of it, and I viewed it more as an entertainment than a chance of getting rich because the odds ain't there. But as Dr. John McGinnis would say, a tax on the math impaired. So we'll leave it at that. But
math impaired.
Yeah, but the thing is, again, if you don't like the idea of Sunday hunting, you don't have to go. If you're responsible for your kids, they don't have to go. And I'll leave that up to, you know, the parents to
well,
decide.
There's another angle on that, too. I've heard one of the reasons why it took so long to get any traction to get passed was there was a couple things. The one big one was always, well, if we allow hunting on Sundays, all the farmers will post their land. Well, go for a drive out in the country and find a farm that isn't posted.
And they have to post it because if they don't, they're going to be in trouble because people just trespass. They do it anyway, even if it's posted.
But a high percentage of the farm, and I'm not making that as a judgment call. I mean, it's your property; you can do what you want. But if that's the deal breaker, okay, if you're willing to let people hunt on your land the other 6 days of the week, then let it just. Post no Sunday hunting.
Fine. Yeah, exactly.
What's the problem with that? I have no problem with that.
This is something because I'll tell you right now. My father ran a business. He would not have had it open on Sunday in later years. When he was younger, he called himself stupid and naive, and he did that. And he said later, no, it was important to me not to do it. My grandfather, there wouldn't have been any chance of it being open to hunters on Sunday if he owned land. So it's the same thing. It's still your property. You don't have to allow it. State game lands, that's something different. But if it's your property and heaven knows.
Well, and you just kind of segued into another aspect of this. I am a landowner myself.
Okay.
I own a nice chunk. Well, I got it the old-fashioned way. I inherited it.
I own something small enough to mow, okay? So no, you're doing better than me.
I have 100 and some acres, and that's where I do most of my deer hunting.
Nice.
And it's not great. I mean, I managed to get a deer now and then there, but it's where I grew up, and it was family property that my parents worked and struggled and paid for, mm-hmm. and they're gone now, and my brother and I now are the property owners. I don't like the state telling me what I can or cannot do on my own property.
And heaven knows they do that with enough things.
Yes. I mean, especially a legal thing. I'm not up there raising marijuana or something.
Yeah.
I just want to hunt. Or if I don't want to hunt, I have friends and relatives. I should be able to allow them to come there and hunt.
Yeah.
And then I'm a landowner. I own my own land. I'm also a part owner of 1.5 million acres of property that you alluded to, the state game land system.
Ain't we all?
Well, and all licensed hunters are,
yeah.
Because that all that land was acquired mostly with fees from the hunting licenses that we hunters pay for, and it was put aside specifically for public hunting, habitat, and wildlife management. That is the purpose of that. But other folks use it too. A lot of people hike. And matter of fact, most of my use of state game lands in the last 20 years has been anything but hunting. One of my favorite state game lands has one of my favorite little trout streams on.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of my game land use has been outdoor photography, hiking, and fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And, so it, there's a lot of good there. But like I said, I'm a part owner. So I can't hunt on private land, and I can't hunt on public land, and also throw in there 2.2 million acres of state forest that we have in Pennsylvania. Almost most of that's open to public hunting, too. So wait a minute. It sounds like we're talking out of both sides of our mouth, which we kind of are.
Well, the state does for many things.
Well, and you look at, like I said, how archaic a lot of these blue laws are. I can remember when retail stores weren't open. The mall wasn't open on Sunday.
You ever run into the types that will sit there and complain about, they'll go out to lunch after church on Sunday, and they'll sit there and berate the staff. Why are you working on Sunday? Because people like you come in here and pay us.
Yeah.
And they don't see the problem in that. And I asked a pastor one time, former pastor of mine, it's like, well, what's your view on it? Because I notice we go out a lot after church. And he says, well, I'd rather. And he was joking before anybody gets in their hackles up, because somebody will. He was not Mr. Politically Correct. He said, well, I'd rather a heathen work and slave over a hot stove than my Christian wife. He was joking, okay? But you get the idea.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah. He had and has a strange sense of humor, and it's an acquired taste for some people, but it's really funny if you get to know the guy. Former cop, former U.S. Air Force in Vietnam, incredibly interesting guy. But, it's just people are funny about that. Nothing in the law – see, what you were just talking about is what gets me. The law is graciously permitting you to use your land in a way – that you see fit one more way. It doesn't command that you do it, and it doesn't say you have to let people on your land on a Sunday. You can keep doing what you've been doing for years. If you're against Sunday hunting, don't do it. The interesting thing that was always posited to me, and I'm sitting here thinking, how new age is this? And maybe we talked about this once before. And I'm thinking the people who brought this up really don't like hunting to begin with. But it's
exactly.
The animals know that Sunday is a day of rest because nobody's shooting at them. So they get a breather, because the other 6 days they know that they have to hide. And I'm thinking, I'm sure they hide from people 7 days a week.
I'm sure they don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I've heard that. The animals need a day off. I've had hunters tell me, oh, the game needs a day off. What did the late great Rush Limbaugh call them? Low information voters. There's a lot of low information folks out there.
Well, possibly, yes.
And I probably shouldn't say that. I apologize.
Why not? By the way, since he doesn't have email, send any comments, Doug@lightnerradio.com, and I'll pass them along, or we'll address them on a future program.
We don't have callers that can call in.
Yeah, unfortunately, since we're pre-recorded. But if you're mad, leave a Facebook message and keep it civil, or send me the email. The thing about the hunting law, the Sunday hunting, State House of Representatives approved the final step for the House Bill 1431 on June 30th, 142-61. A streamlined version of the bill by Representative Mandy Steele, Democrat, Allegheny County, was approved by the Senate 34-16, June 26th. There are some interesting things that were removed from the bill. This version removes several proposals, including guarantee that at least one member of the Game Commission's board is connected with agriculture. Do you think that would have been a good idea to keep that?
I could argue both sides of that.
How many people are on the board?
Eight.
You could argue it wouldn't be bad to have a representative who is connected to agriculture and is also a hunter or fisherman. It also removes the requirement that deer urine being used for hunting purposes be tested for chronic wasting disease, and it removes changes that made it easier for farmers to report and surrender the carcasses of deer harvested for crop damage. Since I don't know what they were, I don't know that they really made it easier, but that sounds like that should have been in there.
Well, that doesn't affect too many people. I mean,
that affects the farmer.
The farmer that's shooting them for crop damage.
Yeah.
And I knew a couple guys that had farms and were shooting deer.
And they shouldn't have to put up with crop damage.
Well, no, it wasn't that, but it was the deer. They're supposed to save the hides and the and they would do that dutifully like they were supposed to.
Yeah.
And the Game Commission never shows up. You got this stinking mess at one quarter of your corner of your pasture.
But if you said, trust me, they would say, oh, no, we've got to see it. But since you save it, then they don't bother to show up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the guy that's paying the bills, Joe Sixpack, Joe Hunter.
Yeah.
doesn't affect me at all.
Well, what about this requirement that would have required deer urine used for hunting be tested for chronic wasting disease? Can you even do that?
That's a good question.
On the surface, it sounds like a good idea, but I don't know that it's going to do anything.
Well, they use this is if anybody's eating their breakfast or lunch while they're listening to this show, there's actually captive deer herds where they collect the deer urine.
Yeah.
Specifically, when does are in estrus, when the does are in heat.
Yeah.
And they use that as an attractant.
Sure.
Because that.
Right. But that's been.
But that's like
oldest time.
That's baiting. But you're only allowed to do that in archery season. You can't use bait or scent attractants in the regular deer seasons.
But can chronic wasting disease spread that way?
They're not sure. Mm. But that was a panic mode response, knee jerk response when chronic wasting disease first appeared in wild deer in Pennsylvania. We're doing everything we can, and of course it's done nothing. We've discussed chronic wasting disease several times here on shows, and it is not a desirable topic, but it's a relevant topic because it just keeps getting worse and it keeps spreading. And I guess they thought it was possible.
Yeah. Well, if it's possible, even if it's not probable, maybe it's something they should do. But how much is that going to add to the cost of everything? How much red tape is there to do it to prove that you've done
this? Why don't we just ban the use of deer urine attractants for deer hunting, period?
What would the average deer hunter say about that?
I've never done it. I'm going to go out and pay, and it's expensive to pay money for deer pee and be splashing it on my boots and on my not happening. Not happening anytime soon.
See, I'm not a deer hunter.
Now the guys, the archer guys. I mean, if you believe in that, but I don't think it's going to have much effect at all on hunting.
And
I mean,
so well, see, I don't know what percentage
of guys out there that are screaming, "Oh my goodness!"
Buying it. Somebody's buying it. They're selling it. Otherwise, they wouldn't. They wouldn't have it.
I wonder what the total commerce in deer urine in Pennsylvania is.
I've just heard people had used it for decades now, so I presumed it was more widespread. And the other thing that the bills do have is stronger penalties for hunters trespassing on private property, and they require Sunday hunters on private property to carry written permission from the owner.
That's one there that I'm totally against.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Because?
And I discussed this with the Game Commission. We have to backtrack a little bit because—
Well, I'll tell you what. We're running late on the segment.
Yeah.
I thought maybe that this would be a shorter thing, but— Let's bring that back when we continue. We're talking with Walt Young on Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA. We were talking about Sunday hunting and how by now, the time that you hear this, the governor would probably have signed this into law. One of the things I mentioned here, that the bill, some bills, there are changes to the bills, and one of them is that it includes stronger penalties for hunters trespassing on private property and requires Sunday hunters on private property to carry written permission from the landowner. Since 2019, only 3 Sundays have been approved by the legislature for hunting each year. The commission put one of those 3 days in archery deer season, one bear season, and one rifle deer season. But this would require that you have to have a piece of paper from the owner saying, yep, you can be on the land. And I'm thinking, well, who's going to ask to see it as you're walking off the person's land? Somebody from the Game Commission? Or are they going to wander onto people's private property to check somebody hunting without telling the landowner? Wouldn't that be a problem then? It's sort of defeats the purpose.
Yeah, well, and as I previously mentioned earlier in this segment, I am a landowner.
Yeah.
And that written permission slip for Sunday hunting was in when they passed that in 2019.
Okay.
When they passed those 3 Sundays, which went into effect, the first that started in the 2020 hunting seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had 5 seasons with 3.
Mm-hmm.
I have not hunted one. So we've had 15 Sundays.
Okay.
I've not hunted any of them. But I found out about that permission slip deal.
Yeah.
Which you're welcome to come and hunt on my ground. I mean, my dad, like I said, my parents, I inherited it. My brother and I have inherited it.
Yeah.
My dad never hunted a day in his life. I actually kind of thought it was a silly waste of time when you can go to the grocery store and buy something to eat rather than going out and shooting a rabbit.
Not, not so much venison, but anyway.
Yeah, no, exactly. But he thought, hey, you want to, if that's your boat, let it float. You know,
yeah,
that's
okay.
Fine with him.
But you just stop you a sec. You do think that somebody should ask the owner before they come on their property and get permission, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And
okay.
Every year there were guys that would stop and ask my dad religiously, can I hunt me? And then some of them even asked for a permission slip in case they got, or to put up a tree stand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because to attach anything to a tree, you needed permission from the landowner.
I would hope.
And, and dad said, go ahead. You're welcome to hunt. I'm a good neighbor. I'm not giving you anything in writing.
Because it can come back to bite you probably because there's a liability question.
Imagine that. Well, and when I saw that they had made this a thing about Sunday hunting.
Yeah.
And I told my brother, I said, because he knows, my brother doesn't hunt.
Okay.
I'm the only one in the family that hunts. I told my brother, but he has a lot of his buddies. We had property, and they're welcome to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I know a couple of them. We've hunted together up there on my ground. But I said, don't give anybody written permission. And I told him why, and I even told him that goes back to our dad. Dad, knew that. Well, I was at a banquet here. A sportsman's banquet here a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple game wardens at this banquet. And I I grabbed one of them at one of the breaks and explained this to him. I said, hey, what's the, just like you said, what's this deal about the permission slips for Sunday hunting? Mm-hmm. And I explained to him, I said, I have a piece of ground. We're even enrolled in one of the Game Commission access programs, Farm Game or something. They have a bunch of these. Then we've always left it open to hunting. And we're probably stupid for doing so because you're leaving yourself wide open to a lot of liability. But anyhow, that's another program entirely. Mm. I said, I've had a lot of guys, they ask me, you're welcome to hunt. I have cousins that come and hunt. I'm not giving anybody written permission. And I said, who's that for? Is that for me? If somebody's on there and I haven't given them specific permission to hunt on Sunday, you know, and he told me, I said, are you going to go on the ground if you would see somebody hunting there on Sunday? Are you going to go up and ask them if they have permission and then have to come and find me or my brother, the owners? Mm-hmm. And we're going to tell you, get away from me. We don't care.
Well, even if they
And he said, no, look, he said, that's basically just for you to have control over who's there and can make it, you know, formalize it with the written permission. But he said, we're not going to be on your ground checking it. That's what he told me.
Okay, but what if they're going to be waiting at your gate for him to step onto the,
well,
to the road?
Same thing, I guess. But even I've now told most of the guys that I know hunt there and that I want to hunt there, I want them to, I have a gate, mm-hmm. and they can drive up this logging road and there's a log landing. They can park there and go on from there, so they won't even see a bunch of cars or trucks parked at the entrance to my ground.
Yeah.
And
you just don't want the rigmarole of it.
Exactly.
But you know what I'm going to say if I'm a hunter? Well, that's then you're telling me I can't hunt on your property Sunday.
No, I'm telling you can.
No. But you see, that's like saying you're telling me that I can drive on your roads through your property and I can go 80 miles an hour if I want, where the speed limit is 35. The cop isn't going to care you gave me permission. The cops got, well, where's the written permission?
See, well, if they're going to get you for trespassing.
They're going to be breaking law if they don't have that paper. You're not going to give them that paper. So the solution is they don't hunt on Sunday on your property.
Well, no, I don't think the Game Commission can prosecute people for trespassing on my property without my permission. I think I'm the one that has to press charges. This is interesting.
It sounds like
you've conjured up a couple more columns for me, Doug.
Because I think you're going to have to ask the Game Commission. Because the thing is, if the law says you must have this permission from the property owner, and the property owner's like, yeah, you can do it, but I'm not giving you anything in writing. But it says I have to have it in writing. Well, that's up to you. You decide what you want to do.
Well, it depends on how it's worded.
Because it's still like they're still telling you what you can do with your property.
I had no idea that was in the bill.
Yeah.
If I did, I would have probably contacted some legislatures and said, hey.
At least this is how it's reported, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I find it interesting that, because I can see somebody, I can see both sides of the Samar argument. I can see somebody saying,
there's lots of landowners that'll think this is great because that gives them, yes, it's my land.
But here's the thing. If I was a hunter and I wanted to do this and you say, I don't want to be bothered with you, show them on Sunday to ask me. Well, all right. Hey, I've got your address. I got your phone number. Can I talk to you in 2 Sundays from now? I would like to hunt on your property. Can you just give me something in writing or an email that says, yeah, you can go ahead, as opposed to let me knock on your door and bug you on Sunday dinner?
Well, no, I think that's the idea of the permission.
Yeah.
He could come to me in August and get the permission and then we're done.
Yeah.
And that's the way most folks do it.
Yeah.
You know, when they come, I mean, guys that are conscientious and actually do ask permission
and
to use private property.
More of them are conscientious. It's the problem. The ones that ain't.
They don't wait till 6 o'clock in the morning the day they want to, you know.
The answer isn't going to be so
No, I mean, but they don't think. Again, you can't believe people, city people, I call them, city kids,
yeah,
that if they're in the sidewalk, you know, do whatever you want to do. And it just drives me crazy.
Well, this is the thing I've run into, because I know people that own property in Pennsylvania, and recently some friends of mine bought 42 acres in upstate New York, and I was trying to tell him, you better have certain insurance, you better have certain this, you better have this sorted before you take possession of the property. And he says, oh, nobody bothers it up here. The locals all look out for each other. I says, it's not the locals you got to worry about.
No.
It's people who drive up from 250 miles away that think everything is theirs because they can walk through it without a fence in front of them. That's the ones you got to worry about. And that's the ones that when I've talked to people, mainly farmers in Pennsylvania, I mean, I think I told a story one time, and she was telling me the story, the farmer's wife, she didn't quite think what she was doing, but these two guys are wandering on her property. They've got the guns, they got the camo, they got the whole, and she just verbally dressed, she didn't use any expletives, but she made it very clear, get off my property or I'm calling the sheriff. And she says, later I'm thinking about it, it probably wasn't the smartest thing to do since they were both armed and I wasn't. And they were in the middle of nowhere in my property, and they had, you know, like over 100 acres. But, they got real sheepish and apologized and got the heck out of Dodge. But that isn't what the reaction is always going to be.
Well, I can give you one better than that. Twice. I've been kicked off my own property during deer season.
By whom?
By other hunters.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm taking they hadn't asked you for permission.
No, and it was fine.
Well, this is my corner, go get your own?
Yeah, more or less.
Now, did you call anybody to boot them off?
No. No, the best encounter was I was walking in the trail in the dark, you know, before daylight, and I could do it without a flashlight.
You knew where everything was, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going up through a fairly good thicket.
Yeah.
Just almost to the ridge top where I had my tree stand, and it was. But there were two places where I had to make a very sharp turn, or I was going to be in a mess. So I turned my flashlight on just for a second to make sure I had my mark. Yep, right there. That's the big rock. Turn right there, and then go for a ways, and then till I came to the second mark. Well, I'm coming up through in the dark, and I turned my flashlight on to hit my one mark. And this light not far away from up in a tree.
Yeah.
Flashing on me, waving back and forth in a flashlight. And I said, buddy, turn the light out. You know.
Yeah.
Because I had, you know, I just turned mine on and just briefly. You know, I didn't want him waving that light around.
Yeah.
I said, buddy, turn the light out. And where are you going? I said, I'm going about 75 yards up yonder there where my tree stand is, where I always hunt the first day. He said, well, we're going to have a problem. And I said, oh, really? I said, do you own this ground? And he said, no. I said, well, I do. What's the problem? And here's the thing. Where he was wasn't going to bug me. Because I wouldn't even be able to see him because of the thicket between us.
Yeah.
And he was in a good spot.
Yeah.
Because deer come through there, and I wouldn't be able to see him. He was welcome to him. Where I was going, he wouldn't be able to see me. He wouldn't be able to see any deer that ran by me because of the thicket and the lay of the land. So we were all good. You know, there was no need for me to tell, you know. And
see,
I said,
you're nicer than me so far.
No, I mean, well, I wanted to get in my tree stand, get cooled down, enjoy the first day of deer season. I don't want to be standing here having
a spitting contest.
Yeah, I was going to say. I almost said something I shouldn't say, but I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, with somebody. And unnecessarily so.
Yeah.
Like I said, there was no problem.
But you see, that's the thing. It's like you don't mind sharing if somebody asks. This guy is like, who the heck are you to be on this property? It's my property.
I understand what am I going to go be sitting when daylight breaks? Am I going to be sitting 25 yards from his tree? Because I've had that happen to me already. The nicest deer I ever shot on my ground, there was a guy 40 yards I'm in real thick stuff sitting up in a tree.
Yeah.
I had figured this out. I knew, I had a big 10-point figured out, and I had a big 8-point. Either one of them was going to be fine with me on opening day.
Yeah.
And I changed my regular tree stand and moved it to the other side of the property because of my preseason scouting. Boy, I sound like the greatest hunter in the world here, but I'm not. But anyhow, I see it. I'm sitting up in my tree, and I see a flashlight coming up along the ridge just before daylight. Out there 50, 60 yards, I don't know what. You know, so I'm where I am. Breaks daylight. And I can see the guy. I'm in thick. He's sitting in wide open woods over to my right about, oh, I don't know, 50, 60 yards,
yeah,
if that. And I don't think he ever saw me till that big 8-point come under my tree stand, and I fired two shots and knocked him down. But
hopefully it scared the deer urine out of him. And
it might have.
Yeah. See, kids, this is why you ask permission. And if they're not going to give it to you on Sunday, oh, well, you're not going to get it in writing. And if you didn't ask any other time, I don't have much time for you because it's somebody else's property.
Well, yeah, you got to think about it. I mean,
This is what I've tried to explain to my friends. Trust me, there will be people who just decide that they're going to come and fish in your lake because it's stocked.
Well, and I don't know how many people have told me, oh, this is public, isn't it? No.
No.
And by public, they mean it's not posted.
Yeah.
They mean it's open to the public.
Yeah.
Which it kind of is. And
yeah, but still.
But no, I don't know, and I'm hoping it doesn't happen, but it might have to happen. That have some serious – I'm so tired of talking to lawyers after going through to get the property all cleared because there were some family entanglements.
Yeah.
I'll leave it go at that. But
well, I'll just tell this story because Dave Barger told it on the air. One time at his property, there was a guy putting stakes up, and it was people that had moved in next to him. And he came by in the little ATV and said, hey, how are you doing? He just pulled up all the stakes. Yep, get them off. Hey, you can get them off my property. Because the guy was going to stake out part of his property as his. And then Dave told the story, and his dad did too, on the air, where somebody moved next to him, and this was a more suburban setup. And the guy is out in his backyard staking it off, and he's 80 years old at the time or something. He goes, I says, excuse me, you're in my backyard. Yeah, prove it. And gives him a few choice expletives I can't use on the air. And he says, it's my property now, old man. And when he got done with him legally, the guy was sorry that he ever met the old man because the old man was nobody's fool. It's WRTA Weekend. Doug Herendeen. Walt Young is with us. You read his column on the weekend, Altoona Mirror. How often? Once a month or a little more?
Every 2 to 3 a month columns is what I've been writing here lately.
Okay. And he writes on the outdoors. He's a photographer. He's a guide. And we were talking about some other stuff with the new bill, the 1431, about Sunday hunting. And something else I happened to notice that was on the Game Commission's Facebook page just the other day, as you're hearing this, and maybe a little longer after that, but this is going on through August 31st. It says, spot a turkey, submit your sighting. If you spot wild turkeys this summer, report your sighting now through August 31st using the Game Commission's Wild Turkey Sighting Survey. And there's a link, and I'll put it on the podcast page at WRTA.com. This program will be up later today. Your submitted observations will help state biologists monitor turkey reproduction and population trends. Rest assured, sighting locations are kept confidential and used only for conservation purposes. Thank you for supporting Pennsylvania's wild turkey conservation. Sounds simple to me.
Yeah, that's a cool thing to get involved with. If you live out in the country or if you're out and about driving around and have the opportunity to see flocks of turkeys this time of year, because what they're interested in is seeing how many little ones they have.
Yeah.
Poults, the half-grown young turkeys. you know, how
future
good
future butterballs.
Yeah, the how good the, well, the, wild turkeys are anything but butterballs. If you've ever shot a wild turkey, they're an oversized chicken.
But you know what? I knew some people that had one for a pet, and the thing was fantastic. It was like a dog. It would fetch stuff for you. It would come up and talk to you. It was happy around people. I was amazed. I'm thinking, please don't let this wander out into the woods.
They're not as stupid as people give them credit. You know, turkey used to be the euphemism for stupid.
Yeah.
And they're anything but.
I have seen turkeys. It wasn't in the season when they have the poults with them, but I do remember seeing a turkey. Why did the turkey cross the road to get to the other side? Because, you know, didn't want to get run over. And I saw it was a street in the city of Altoona, and I'm thinking, and during the day.
I'm thinking,
I don't think anybody owns it. It was probably just wandering around, and this was its territory. And what it didn't bother me. It didn't care that my car was coming toward it. I slowed down and stopped. I didn't come near it. It went off into the brush, and that was it. So I guess I would have called them in had it been during the survey, which I didn't know existed until now.
Well, the reason for that is it gives them an idea. Region by region,
yeah.
How good the survival rate was, or the nesting success was this past spring. Like a cold, wet spring is just horrible for the young ones. They get pneumonia or whatever they get, and
we had some of that for a while, and then it became stinking hot.
Exactly. So it's hard just to say, oh, it was a cold, wet spring, so reproduction was awful this year. But this gives them to quantify it. And the reason, and you know, and if you're a hunter, you want to help out, because if you're a turkey hunter in this area, you know, like Wildlife Management Unit 4D, which is the unit we're in here in Altoona, and the unit where my property is, where I do most of my hunting. For now, this past fall, we had 2 weeks of fall turkey season. But for, I don't know how, at least 3 or 4 years prior, we only had 1 week of fall turkey season because the populations were supposedly repressed or whatever. So this helps them get a better grasp on either, yes, we got plenty of turkeys, we can have a little more liberal season, or, we might want to cut back, we don't want, you know, a little bit. And of course, most hunters are amenable to that. We understand. We don't want to over harvest any species, but we don't want to over protect them either, because you can't stockpile game. If you got a whole bunch of turkeys this year and you have a real bad winter, guess what? All bets are off. We're right back to square one again. And it's the same with just about everything, especially here in Pennsylvania. Winter is the great equalizer for almost everything, deer, turkey, you know, game species.
Yeah,
the ones that don't migrate. So, a citizen science project like this is very worthwhile. I haven't checked on it. I'm going to write about this in the next week or two, probably, and to encourage folks to get involved with it, because I think you said it's between now and August.
August 31st.
Yeah, you can call these in. And you can get online in just a couple clicks and report where it is.
We'll have that link there on the podcast page.
Yeah, well, that's great. And or you can get on the Game Commission website and find out about it, too. Or I'll have information in my column here in the near future.
Turkey population been okay?
It's down from what it peaked at, I don't know, about 15 years ago. So I forget when we hit a big peak here back in the early 2000s. Hmm. But apparently here in 4D... for whatever reason, and I don't know. I don't talk to these people. In fact, our state turkey biologist, Mary Jo Casalina, she lives in Bedford County, so she's pretty familiar with this area. And I've been out with her, and she's been doing that for a while. She's been the head of the program for a good while. I was out on her with her on a couple field projects before. One night we were down on this bloody cold ridge down in either Southern Blair or Northern Bedford County. They had one of those trap nets where they hit the explosives and it blows the net. They bait in a flock of turkeys,
yeah.
And you hit the explosive charge and it just blows this net over top of them. And then you run in and you tag and band a whole bunch of them for a population survey.
Yeah.
And we sat here in this little blind freezing for no turkeys. And I was going to be the one that got to hit the button to blow the blow the net. And that was the only thing that kept me breathing that night because, oh, it was so freaking cold.
But did they eventually show up?
No.
Ah, so you'll go out there
and
nothing.
No, it was welcome to the life of a game biologist. You know, hurry up and wait. And,
yeah.
But it was cool.
Usually it's Harrisburg that makes you do that. In this case, it was the turkeys.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of turkeys in Harrisburg, too. So now there I am using that. Turkey's in the wrong way again. But
it's WRTA Weekend. Doug Herendeen, Walt Young, writes for the Altoona Mirror on outdoors stuff, photographer, guide, writes for a few other people as well. And you wanted to talk about fishing this summer and how things are.
Well, yeah, we've been really spent about the whole show on hunting, and it, very timely topics here with the Sunday hunting about to become a reality, it looks like, and also the turkey survey it'll be going on that the public can help out with this summer. But my first love, and maybe my best love, it has always been fishing. I love being on the water. And, of course, this time we ought to be talking about that because it's summertime, the kids are out of school. The best cure, if you want to get your kids away from the screens and all the electronic babysitters, put a rod and reel in their hands and get them into that. Now, every kid won't like it. It's not for everybody. But I know this skinny kid from Bellwood, and I was a skinny kid compared to what we're looking at now, time frame. But it's just been a great part of my life. It's something that's fascinated me. And that's the other thing. Here I am with more than 70 revolutions around the sun under my belt. And I still love fishing, and I'm still pretty darn good at it. The hit it, throw it, kick it sports that I also like to do as a kid, not so much. Haven't picked up a ball or a bat in many, many years.
Would take a little more out of you, and as long as you're not getting heat stroke fishing, it's still something you can do.
So besides getting the kids connected to the natural world, the real world, getting them a little more grounded, it also gives them a lifelong diversion, something they can do their whole life. And the neat thing is you can do it as intense or as laid back as you want to. I know so many people talk to me and they say, oh, I don't have the patience just to sit there, because that's what some people do. They cast it out, they prop the rod up on a stick,
go to sleep,
get out the chair and sit there and watch. That would drive me up a wall. I mean, I've done that a little bit. They call that still fishing.
Yeah.
And there are certain things that it's relevant to. I've done a little bit, but I'm casting, I'm moving, I'm in motion all the time, and there's everything in between. So you can make it whatever you want it to be. It'll fill whatever creative need you have, and it gets you out there in appreciating nature, and it also gets you to be a better citizen. There's so many people crusading and campaigning about the earth, the ecosystem, climate change, all this stuff. And a lot of these people, they don't really know much about the real world. I mean, at least in my opinion, when you talk to them, it just seems like, where have you been all your life? You believe this, you believe that.
They haven't been in the great outdoors, but they know what they can do to save it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is get in your face about it.
Yeah, yeah. And get you to write a check.
Mm-hmm.
But,
that's the other thing.
And that God knows who's going to cash for God knows what.
Yeah.
But anyhow, But yeah, it and we've had a little bit of a heat wave lately, and I just looked at the weather this morning, and it's supposed to be stay in the mid-80s here for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
So that makes it, if you want to get out there, most days early in the morning, it's going to be more pleasant, and the fish are going to be a little more cooperative first thing in the morning, and then late in the evening, too.
Do the fish get tired as the day goes on? Because I can't imagine they're swimming all the time, although I think they go into some type of trance or something overnight.
They do sleep.
Yeah.
I just read an article on National Geographic or something online about how fish sleep. It's not like we do, because their brains are so elemental. They're not, they don't think and all this crazy stuff. I mean,
well, it makes me wonder, because I have tropical fish at home, and people say, well, that ain't the same thing. Okay, they're fish. And if I come home at night and the place has been dark and I turn a light on, they don't react right away. And I found that, obviously, if you're going to disturb them by slamming your hand on the tank, that's a bad idea, but you'll get their attention. But if you go over to it slowly, and I just put my hand on it, and they actually can tell the heartbeat after a while, they'll sort of perk up a bit and come over to that part of the tank. So obviously, they're often never, never land at certain times when they think nobody is around or it's been quiet and dark. Whereas I think in the morning, they're more active. But by the end of the day, they're like, oh, here's another idiot thinks that I'm going to take that stupid plastic worm.
Yes. No, they do get conditioned, you know, especially your captive fish there in the tank.
Yeah.
That's why so many experiments, when they test lures, they test fish behavior.
Yeah.
They're captive fish in a tank.
And that's not the way the fish that we're
and,
going for
you know,
live.
And yet they respond to this lure or this color or this scent. Mm-hmm. You know, they test all these things, these fish in tanks. And it might be a little bit relevant, but there's still too many variables there. Just the fact that they're in a tank and captive adds another dimension it's just weird.
And also, the bait does help. And last summer when I was fishing with my friend in upstate New York, we went to an area that was public fishing. And unfortunately, the fish were smaller than the bait. So they ain't going to go for it. And I thought, you know, after a while, we're not getting anywhere with them. And to talk about laissez-faire attitude, you could see the fish because the water was that clear. So I had been casting a couple of times, and I just drop it down, and there's the fish right by the pier. I bump him in the nose with it. The fish doesn't even flinch. He just backs up and goes around. He's seen it all and does not care.
Let me tell you one of Walt's undeniable rules of fishing.
Yeah.
If you can see the fish,
they can see you.
Well, they can see you, but if you can see a bunch, or if you can see a bunch of fish,
yeah,
they are smarter than you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you think you're going to get them.
No, and that's where you say...
We were trying to get them out further, and nothing out there cared. Well, they did steal some bait, but
you want fish that the minute they see you, pew,
yeah,
they spook. You could have caught that fish, probably.
I suppose. It didn't seem to care.
The art of the deal, the trick is, don't scare the fish away before you try to catch it.
That would be good,
that
too.
That might be the best fishing tip I could ever give. I mean, that sounds oversimplified, but that's what I do all the time when I'm guiding these guys. Oh, look at that big fish right there. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Not a good thing.
If anybody has any questions for Walt, you can catch him through, so to speak, the Altoona Mirror, or you can email me, doug@lightnerradio.com. And again, the column a couple of times a month in the Sunday, or the Weekend Mirror. I still call it the Sunday Mirror, the Weekend Mirror. Walt Young, thanks very much.
Appreciate it, Doug. Always fun to be here.
Podcast the program up in just a few at WRTA.com.